Great to be joined now by 3rd District Senator Gary Romine on today's legislative report. How's your week going, Gary?
It's going real well. Glad to be home and getting ready for Easter this weekend with family. It's just a great week.
Sounds good. I had heard yesterday, but I guess I heard incorrectly. So I heard that you were the one filibustering earlier this week, but I guess you were the one that got filibustered.
I was on a different end of the filibuster this week. Yes, we had Title IX come up before the body. Title IX is the due process bill for higher ed institutions. National Betsy DeVos is in the process of rewriting the rules for Title IX, but the number of responses was well over 100,000 in public hearing, and so it's going to be at least a year or longer before she can revisit deal with the Obama administration's Dear Colleague letter, which right now we do not have a consistent Title IX due process language in the state for all the institutions to follow. So my bill would standardize the process and additionally add a appeals process at the end through the Administrative Hearing Commission.
Okay, so is that going to be, do you think, another year before that'll be heard then? Is that?
Well, the filibuster wasn't the end. We did lay the bill over about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, but we anticipate another opportunity for the bill to come up. We're going to visit with the opposition. We've made quite a bit of concessions and modifications to the bill, but evidently it wasn't quite enough, so we still got to get back to the drawing board and negotiate the finer points of the bill. And a lot of it's wordsmithing, making sure the language is as we wanted to say, to make sure that's the actual effect of the bill, so that we don't get into a court situation where it's challenged. And that's real important in the process of making a bill law, is that we want to make sure that whatever the language is not written in such a way that it can end up in the courts and then all the work has gone in vain. So we don't mind the work. We felt like we made some progress, but that's part of getting it done, is making sure that it's fully vetted and all the issues are fully recognized in the bill.
Makes a lot of sense. Have you ever been the one doing the filibustering?
I've had a couple of occasions this year, yes. And it's always been on the principle of the issue. Obviously, I'm very much interested in, I believe it's our constitutional responsibility to protect public education. Right now, we're looking at 41.5% of charter schools failing. And so there was a bill earlier this year to expand charter schools throughout the state. And with the 41.5% failure rate and the money it would take away from the public schools, which right now those failures have cost the state well over $750 million, philosophically, I could not allow a bill to go through that would expand charter schools when they have such a dismal success rate.
Mm-hmm. So for some people, it's very difficult to formulate a 5-minute speech. But so I'm kind of interested. How do you prepare to do a filibuster then?
Well, I mean, you have your research, you have your materials, and I'm very set in that when we filibuster, we want to make sure it's factual and it's based upon the merits of the bill. But after a few hours, you start running out of, you can only repeat yourself so many times on the issue itself. And then you get into conversations about other things, other bills that may be coming up or other bills that you've had to deal with. Just kind of remind folks of the process that we've gone through on other legislation. And so it's just a myriad of things. Some guys just take and pick up a textbook or the Missouri Senate book or rules and just start reading from it. I've avoided that as much as possible, because I think if you're going to tie up floor time, it needs to be substantive.
Okay, that's a good answer, and I know I was kind of curious about that. You wanted to talk a little bit to us about the governor's bonding bill today.
Right. We did get it third read earlier this week and sent over. We've really tried to figure out how to get our roads and bridges built. The constituency voted down the fuel tax increase, and mostly I think it was because of the way it was worded and then the Highway Patrol being involved and Olympic medal being added in there. When you're really dealing with issues, you need to keep it as simple as possible, and I think our fuel tax amendment that was on the ballot this past year was too convoluted, and And I understand the frustration of the people. They don't want to pass something and then feel like they got hoodwinked into something else. So addressing the issue, the governor stepped up and they negotiated from $351 million bonding down to $301 million bonding and paying $50 million up front out of general revenues to get it started. And as usual, if you start going through general revenues, it becomes political. Then you start having legislators say, well, I don't have enough projects in my area. There's more projects going over here than in my district. This should be balanced. And then you start getting into the bickering of special interest as far as which projects should go where. As long as it stays in the transportation department, then the transportation department has a well-vetted transportation plan that they put in place. And so I was frustrated that we had to go through general revenues to get this deal done, but in the end, I supported the bond for the governor's sake to make sure that we do have safe roads and bridges.
So not ideal, but it sounds like your take on it is that it's certainly a significant step forward.
It is, and it's for the protection of our traveling public, and sometimes, it's one of those issues that I had some concerns about, but in the end, it was the right thing to do. And so the House, I believe, I haven't heard any consternation on the House side about it. Hopefully they will get it through the process and the governor can sign it and we can get these projects rolling. And I did have a chance to have a personal visit with the governor. He signed a bill that I carried this past couple of weeks, the retirement bill that allows school teachers that are retired to teach at community colleges. There was an inadvertent bill passed last year that teachers couldn't collect their retirement and still teach at the community college. And so we had to fix that. And I had the good fortune this week of being with the governor as he did the bill signing on that. House Bill 77, I had the Senate version, but the House bill was the one that got through the process first. And governor signed it this week, and just happy to be one of the first bills to get to the governor's desk this year.
Very good. Third District Senator Gary Romine, our guest on this legislative report. Gary, I've heard from different legislators who have been in the Capitol for several governors that Governor Parson communicates more with the legislators than any other governor that they've dealt with. Do you find that to be the case?
Very much so. I mean, it's not uncommon to see him walking down the hall, coming to visit with a senator or a representative. He wanted to have a meeting with me a couple of weeks ago, and I said, sure. And he said, I'll be up at your office in a little bit then. I mean, he's definitely a man of the people, and he's traveled the state on several different occasions for several different reasons, made himself readily available. We had the privilege of having the governor in town at the Parkland Hospital a few weeks ago. He wants to make sure he's available. He'll take questions, get engaged in conversation. Yes, he's definitely very approachable and really interested in being part of the community as he represents the community as the governor of the state.
It seems to me and probably many of our listeners and get your take on it, that ought to be the norm at every level of government, but it seems like that's the exception.
We shouldn't be talking about this with surprise in our voice. It should be the norm. It should be the way government should operate. I mean, I should be readily available, and I really enjoy constituents calling, coming up to Jeff City and coming by the office, and this governor is the same way. And we had dinner with all of our state reps that touched my Senate district this past week. I invited them in, again, to build those relationships so that you can't get a bill done unless it gets through the House and Senate. So I want to make sure that all the state reps that touch my district, we have an opportunity to have a relationship. So we're working together to get the issues resolved. And again, each of those guys are very much interested in being in touch with their constituency. I'm just excited to be part of a legislative body with the administration of the governor we have that is really exuding what I think public policy should be all about.
What are you looking forward to working on next week, Gary?
Next week is getting into House bills. I think 90% of our business now will be dealing with what the House sends over. Don't have a list at this time what that will be. The calendar will be established first part of next week. But, again, it will be time to start putting the final touches on bills. and our responsibility will be to, again, revet the issues that the House have got through their process and we'll have sent our way.
Thank you for your time, and a happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter, Chad. Appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Bet you always appreciate it. 3rd District Senator Gary Romine joining us on this legislative interview right here on AM 800 KREI.